Matt Carlucci, let's begin with you. On Tuesday, you sent a paper to everyone on the Jacksonville City Council explaining this idea. What's in the proposal?
Well, to start out, the mayor, Mayor Brown, decided to put together a task force to address this whole issue. Not only of the underfunded part, there's two pieces. There's the underfunded part of the pension, the liability, and then there's also the structure of the agreement itself in compromising some of those terms that have been in place. And that's Charlie was on that task force that, good morning, Charlie, that made some recommendations. And one of the recommendations, and so they reached a compromise. They reached an agreement with the mayor and the police, or they gave their report to the mayor. The mayor took that to the Fire and Police Pension Board, reached a compromise, took it to the council. The council said, well, we can't vote for this if there's no dedicated funding source. So Charlie and I started kicking around some ideas about this with the blessing of the mayor's office and talking some with the JEA. Now, you have to understand the JEA had a report coming out on the mayor's original proposal that was due in November, and it came out, and it was very, it was not supportive of the mayor's idea. So we, you know, were also working kind of side by side, but trying not to get in front of that one with an alternative. So there was no, plan, so to speak, to try to suddenly come up with a alternative. We were just working on a kind of a plan B. And so we've put this plan B before the council, and I think at this point it would be well maybe for Charlie to kind of explain the math of that.
Charlie Appleby, what you're proposing is that the utility JEA would borrow about $120 million. City Hall would pump that into the police and fire pension fund. In return, the city would reduce its future annual contributions that JEA makes to City Hall. There are several steps to this. Can you walk us through it?
Sure, I'd be more than happy to. It's a pretty interesting concept, and the way to potentially solve the where's the money coming from question. If you recall, early in this year, Mayor Brown suggested that. Let me back up. The Pension Reform Task Force suggested that. The city should put in an additional $40 million a year for 10 years. And the Pension Reform Task Force suggested that could be funded any number of ways, one way of which was to use a sales tax. Obviously, you could always increase ad valorem taxes. The administration, the mayor in particular, was always adamant that there should be no increases in taxes or fees or rates. He did suggest early on that, based on some analysis performed by the city actactuary, that he believed that the Jackson Electric Authority could contribute the $40 million a year for 10 years, and that's been out there for quite a while. And that's what the JEA Finance Committee and their board was considering with advice from their own independent actuary. And that's the report that was delivered to the JEA Finance Committee earlier this week. Matt and I would talk to people from various places in the city through the course of this. What could we do if this does not work with JEA? And we looked at it and tried to come up with a different way of approaching this thing. And so what you have to understand is, and this is used to be fairly complicated math, so feel free to stop me at any time and say, wait a minute, what did you just say?
$40 million
a year for 10 years, simple math is it's $400 million. But it's not $400 million up front. It's $40 million for 10 years. So the question is, what is that worth in today's dollars? The Police and Fire Pension Fund recently has reduced, in the course of its negotiations, has reduced its assumed rate of return on its investments to 7%. It was much higher than that in the recent past and through the years. So what is the same dollars to the pension fund for $40 million a year for 10 years? Now, we calculated the present value of that number and used the 7% assumed rate of return, and that number comes out to be $300 million. So in present-day dollars, $300 million up front is the same as $40 million a year for 10 years.
And let me just jump in. Charlie, and give the phone number for people that will have questions. It's 549-2937. Go ahead, Charlie.
Okay. And so the negotiated retirement reform agreement that the administration had reached with the, I'll call it the PFPF, Police and Fire Pension Fund, was $61 million of accumulated chapter funds would be used to pay into and reduce the unfunded liability. So if you take the, I'm going to round that $61 million off to $60 million just to make the numbers easier. So on a present value basis, if you put $300 million in, you've accomplished, if you put it in up front, you've accomplished the same as the $40 million a year. So take the $300 million, reduce it by the $60 million rather than the $61, the $60 million from the chapter funds, which would be applied to that unfunded liability. That leaves you $240 million. The framework of the agreement with JEA, and I'll say framework, it still has to be worked out. There needs to be detailed negotiations between right. the administration and JEA to work out the detailed agreements. It then would have to be reviewed and approved by the JEA board, reviewed and approved by the administration, and obviously reviewed and approved by
many layers of oversight. And we'll go to your calls in just a moment as we discuss this new idea from a local business executive and a former city official teaming up with City Hall to try to address the city's $1.65 billion unfunded liability for future pension payouts. We'll go to your calls and questions in a moment at 549-2937. Matt Carlucci, how likely is this plan to pass muster with the JEA, the City Council, the Police and Fire Pension Fund? You've got a lot of hoops to jump through to get this to bring this to fruition.
I think once people on the council and other community leaders begin to really look at this plan, it sounds maybe a little complicated, but really isn't. They will see that this is a much better concept than raising ad valorem taxes, which is going to be very politically difficult this year. And a sales tax, you know, we have one local option sales tax left in Jacksonville. And in my view, and that's kind of what got me really started into this, that local option sales tax should be used for things like removing tolls like we did back in 1987 or 88 or 89. The Better Jacksonville plan. I went to watch James Taylor last night. We were coming out of the arena. Yeah. I'm thinking, Better Jacksonville plan, local option sales.
Right.
So the sales tax is like a booster rocket to Jacksonville that moves the needle on the progress of our city. So where else do you go? You know, kind of pick your poison. This is a great way to go.
You're borrowing money and you're issuing a bond. It's a sort of a 1-2. There's more than one component to this.
Yeah, it's a pension obligation bonds on both ends by the JEA and the City of Jacksonville. But they're structured such that the debt retirement on the end of the city would not be that great the first 5 years. One of the sticklers with the council is going to be this. Is part of the agreement in the give and take and negotiations with the JEA is that they increase their contribution to the city by $2.5 million each year. That gives their bond rating agencies great pause, and that's hurting them. So they'd like to reduce that down. That's part of the agreement. We can make that up after 5, 6, 7 years, the economy is growing again, and we need to start looking at the economy through the lens of 2014, not through the lens of 2010.
And as we speak with local executive Charlie Appleby of Advanced Disposal and former City Councilman Matt Carlucci, two minds that have come together to try to partner up with City Hall to find a solution to the city's pension crisis, $1.65 billion in unfunded liability. How to resolve this without raising taxes? We want to know what your thoughts are. 549-2937 is the number to join the show. Bruce on the South Side. Hey, Bruce, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Melissa. I appreciate you having me on your show. My question is simply, and I'll wait and go off on after a response, is, isn't this just purely a matter of borrowing from Peter to pay Paul?
Thanks for the question, Bruce. Charlie Appleby, what about that?
more than happy to answer that. I would like to point out you described me as the CEO of Advanced Disposal. Mm-hmm. I did retire the 1st of July, so I'm the former CEO of Advanced Disposal.
Thank you. I stand corrected. Thank you for that.
Borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, the whole issue is how do we do this without raising taxes and fees? And so we are several overarching objectives here. One is that what we structure should not and can't result in the increase of the electrical rates with the JEA. The JEA is going to contribute $120 million to the city. How they fund that, whether they go out and finance it, whether they use other resources they have, is totally up to the JEA and their management and their finance committee and board. Yes, that could possibly borrow at the JEA level. $120 million is a lot of money that assists the city in achieving a reduction in the unfunded liability. So when I said earlier, we need to come up with $240 million on a present value basis. So $120 million comes to the JEA, will not affect its rating, will not affect its rates to all the consumers of the JEA. So we come to the city side of that, borrow $120 million. The city finance department is putting together a comprehensive analysis of this, and you really need to see that analysis and to understand fully the consequences of all this. It's being paid off over a 10-year period of time. Relatively short, this is $120 million the city would borrow. Roughly short period of time in the context of the long-term comprehensive solution for the pension plan. Yes, it is being borrowed. But, yes, it's being paid back in a very short period of time. And because of the money that's going in up front, it reduces significantly over the first 7 years the annual required contribution that's required to be made into the pension plan. And that results in a fairly nominal effect on the cash flows of the city. The last 3 or 4 years, the numbers are higher. If you heard what Matt Carlucci said a little bit earlier, if you look at the expectations, one of the first places that Matt and I went was to sit down with the property appraiser's office and say, you know, what are reasonable expectations of what the increases in ad valorem taxes will be just because of the economic growth in Jacksonville, not because of a change in tax rates. If you look at that, the city is able to afford this and pay off this money they borrowed in a short period of time and make a significant reduction in the unfunded liability consistent with the retirement reform agreement negotiated by the mayor.
Matt.
Real quickly, too, if we were not to do this, whether we're borrowing the money or not, this will keep our contribution obligation to the pension fund from growing out of control over the next 10 years. So it's going to save a lot of money.
That is a huge, huge financial monster just staring the city in the face.
It's going to keep our contribution level about the same as opposed to in 10 years becoming Detroit. So it saves money.
Bruce and Yuli, another Bruce on the line. Hi, Bruce. How's Yuli this morning? Go ahead.
Yuli's cold, but...
yeah, I bet it is.
My question is, like everywhere else around here, my question is, JEA was criticized by its bond rating agencies for having a very high debt burden already because of the investments that they made in improving infrastructure over the last decade.
Yeah.
And I can't see how this would not adversely impact the bond rating and cause JEA to have additional capital costs and debt service costs.
Sure, yeah, that's
a good
question.
$120 million is pretty significant. And this comes at a time when JEA is anticipating future capacity additions in the next 10 years. And at that time, they'll need to go to the bond market again. And I know the current CEO has worked hard to try and manage the debt and reduce the debt burden, but it's still considered a highly leveraged utility because of the current indebtedness that it has. So.
Right.
That's my question.
Thank you,
Bruce.
How
do we manage that without adversely impacting the utility, which provides infrastructure for all of Northeast Florida?
That's Bruce and Yuli. Excellent questions. Is this going to be a pretty tough sell for JEA?
No, I mean, they've already passed it unanimously.
They're with you.
And his question is really good. And we haven't quite got to the part of what the benefit is. When we, Charlie and I, were talking with the JEA, this wasn't unilateral, just, you know, what's in it for Jacksonville. It's what's in it for the JEA. And one of the things that greatly helps them, and Charlie, you can compound on this some, but is their contribution to the city will begin to lessen each year.
And Charlie, will consumers feel an impact if this plan goes through? Will ratepayers feel any kind of pinch? Will this be rolled off onto the consumer?
Those are all excellent questions. You know, we can't speak for JEA, but we did sit down and discuss this with them, and they've considered the impact of all this. The one of the biggest concerns that the rating agencies have is the agreement with the city of Jacksonville that ends, I should say, in September 30th, 2016. Where over for quite a few past years, the contribution by JEA to the city of Jacksonville was historically and previously based upon a formulaic calculation based upon their revenues and their electrical sales and their water sales. There was an agreement struck quite a few years ago where the city wanted to have a little more definitive payment stream, and based upon the growth prior to the Great Recession, an agreement was made that, look, the JEA will just increase its contribution to the city by $2.5 million every year. So it's $2.5 million this year, $5 million next year, $7.5 million. So that's increased that contribution significantly. The rating agencies of JEA were very concerned about that ever increasing obligation and what was going to happen when this agreement expired at the end of fiscal year 16. And so that would have come back to City Council. And so that was the biggest concern of the rating agencies on the ability of JEA to appropriately control its cash flows to the city based upon its revenues. This agreement, that the framework of this agreement that we have structured, beginning in 17, reduces JEA's contribution by $2.5 million a year.
All right.
In a similar manner.
And let me just jump in and get a few more callers on the air. Lots of calls and questions about this idea to address the city's pension problems. What are your questions? 549-2937. Jerry in Jacks Beach. Hey, Jerry. Thanks for holding, and you are now on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. I have some friends work at Jacksonville, and they're concerned about the general pension plan. Will this affect the general pension plan for the general workers?
For current employees?
Current employees.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for the question. Matt.
This pension reform is centered all around the Jacksonville Police and Fire pension. This would have no effect on
doesn't affect
employees.
City employees.
No, it does not. Matter of fact, it used to be once upon a time the city employees' pension was in big trouble, and that got fixed, and the fire and police was in great shape. Now it's reversed around the other way.
We're getting tweets about this topic. Maurice tweets the show, "I'm glad to see people getting together to come up with a solution instead of politicians just saying no without any solutions." What are your questions? 549-2937. Ira in Mandarin. Hey, Ira, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure, go ahead.
I haven't been here for more than about a year, but can you tell me, can we not just put the fire and police pension fund into receivership, pay them 10-20% on the dollar that whatever is actually in the fund, and then transition to some sort of defined contribution plan like most other people have? Thank you.
Yeah, that question has come up before, Ira. Thank you for the question. Charlie and Matt, can you explain the tangled history of the
state
city's
law would not allow that.
Yeah, there are statutes in place that would prevent that. Charlie Appleby.
I'll say one more thing on the previous question. As part of this agreement with the JEA, the framework of the agreement, the JEA employees that participate in the general employee pension plan, it would be moved over and JEA would then control that. So there would be about $460 million of the unfunded liability in the existing general employee pension plan that would be moved over to JEA and out of the city pension plan. So that, I wanted to point that out. To the current question, that was looked at very carefully by the Pension Reform Task Force, and as Matt just indicated, it seems like an easy solution, but it's just not a viable solution. Legally, the city of Jacksonville is obligated to the Police and Fire Pension Fund. And under state's law, you cannot reduce any pension that's previously accrued under the existing plan. So you can't change that. Now, there is an argument, Detroit is a good example of that. There is an argument that said if the city of Jacksonville were to declare bankruptcy, it would require the city to declare bankruptcy before there could be any realistic discussion of that alternative. And we just don't see that as a viable alternative. It would be devastating to the city finances to even consider the route. And I don't think the city would even qualify for bankruptcy because of the resources that it has.
Bill in Mandarin, thanks for holding, Bill. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, two questions. One, in your great analysis of the betting on the come, did you also run parallel analysis that if the assumptions were wrong and things stayed flat, what kind of burden would that put on everybody to make up that false assumption?
Thanks for the question, Bill. Matt, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Charlie was the one who really looked at that the most. Mm-hmm. Charlie, you want to tackle that question? That's a great question.
Right. You have to plan for several contingencies, don't you?
Well, you do. The only thing we know for sure is what we estimate in the future is not going to happen. It's either going to be better, it's going to be worse, they're not going to be right on. The Pension Reform Task Force actually looked at that to some large degree. The 70% assumed rate of return, the pension plan, the Pension Reform Task Force, based on analysis prepared, I think it was by the Pew Foundation, there is a 75% probability that the pension fund would be able to earn 5.4% rather than the 7%. It could obviously earn more than the 7% too, but this is the downside scenario. Not the upside scenario we can all deal with. It's very easy to deal with that. Certainly things could change. The estimated cost the city would pay for borrowing the $120 million over 10 years is 3.5% of the analysis used, and that could vary probably as much as 25 to 50 basis points depending on the condition of the debt markets at the time the debt is placed. You have to consider that, no question about it. And the city finance department is working through those particular analyses, and this is why it has to go through this appropriate review process by the JEA board, by the administration, and by city council.
Let's talk about that. Matt Carlucci, already quoting here in the Florida Times Union this morning, reaction to this idea has been mixed. Some councilmen think this is great. Others have been critical. I'll quote a council member, Denise Lee. And she told the newspaper, "I don't know what brainiac came up with this idea, but they need to check their brains." You served on the city council. You know how difficult it can be to get all members moving in the same direction. What about the political challenges ahead?
My good friend Denise Lee, and I mean that. I've learned a lot from Councilwoman Lee over the years, and a few of her tricks I've used actually.
Really?
when I was a council person. But she really cares about the city, and I respect what she's saying. All I can tell you is she's not breaking any new ground there. My wife's been saying that for 37 years of marriage, getting my brains checked. So,
but to be honest with you, how are you going to break through this criticism and negativity?
Well, it takes time for people to begin to really study this. And I think when council members study the facts and they see that this plan was based on the recommendation of the task force that everybody embraced at the time, do we want to do this, or do we want to raise taxes, or do we want to do a sales tax? The big thing is, if we don't do anything, then every year, and what Denise, I think, is concerned about is losing that $2.5 million extra contribution each year. It grades down for 7 years, and it flattens out to $100 million for 3 years. It could eventually increase as revenues increase. She's concerned about that. Well, but that's kind of a drop in the bucket compared to what doing nothing would mean, because then our increased contribution towards our obligation will be far greater than $2.5 million.
Something must be done, and soon.
Facts are stubborn things, and I think the numbers will work.
So yeah, but the question now becomes, what's everyone going to come to terms on? And we still are getting lots of calls about this. Let's go now to Dave on the South Side. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Morning, Melissa. You know, you're talking about borrowing a lot of money that will be taken away from other potential uses for capital projects, and I heard returns of like 5 to 7% being used to justify this, to pay it back. You know, one of the other things that we're trying to do in this community is reduce cost to consumers of energy, and JEA is an energy utility. And the garbage industries realize they can save money by converting their trucks to natural gas. And I'm just wondering, why not put as part of this plan local investments of this borrowed money into building out an infrastructure for natural gas fueling stations that would reduce the cost of fuel to all of the consumers in this community and generate more than maybe 10, 15, 20% return in that investment, and put that profit towards paying down this pension obligation? Just don't make this a financial play. Make this a sustainable economic development play.
Thanks for that, Dave. That's Dave on the South Side.
Dave, that's a great idea, and actually we hadn't got to that yet, but part of our agreement with the JEA is to help them get into the natural gas business, to give them an extra revenue stream, which, by the way, would also work its way into the formula, which would allow the city of Jacksonville budget to be enhanced by additional contributions. But energy consumption on the electric side is going down. That's some of the challenges that JEA had. So when we started negotiating, you know, we asked the JEA, Charlie and I and others, hey, what can we do to help you? And natural gas was one of the big ideas that they had. And so the city is committed to helping them develop those resources to get into the natural gas business.
And so let's close with you, Charlie. What's the road ahead for this proposal? Where do you go from here?
Well, you know, what Matt and I and others have been able to do is structure a framework between the JEA and the city to come up with a means to fund this $40 million a year for 10 years to solve the unfunded liability problem. The next step is, you know, this really moves over to the city and to the JEA to sit down appropriately, negotiate the definitive agreement, dot the I's and cross the T's. They have to come to an agreement, then the city council has to approve this. So that's really the road ahead for this, to see if it passes muster on all its points.
And we'll soon find out. But in the meantime, we appreciate both of your insights, complicated proposals. So thanks for explaining all of it to our listeners who are quite interested. Thank you both.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you for the opportunity. And I know Charlie and I both really appreciate it.
Thank you both. Matt Carlucci and Charlie Appleby with us this morning.